This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New Zealand cracks down. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, March 21. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
In the wake of last Friday's terror attack, lawmakers in New Zealand have agreed to sweeping changes to gun laws.
The National Weather Service says catastrophic flooding will continue as melting snow adds to heavy rainfall in large areas of the Midwest and Plains.
NCAA basketball tournament begins today, the start of what some call the best weekend in sports, like
and
me.
Towns and counties resisting new gun laws by creating sanctuary cities for weapons.
In a number of states in the West, primarily, cities and counties that are passing resolutions declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuary cities and counties. It's sort of based along the lines of what we've seen with other localities passing these sanctuary city status resolutions for illegal immigrants. And they're declaring that they're now sanctuary cities for gun owners.
Reporter Valerie Richardson at the Washington Times on the Second Amendment sanctuary movement. She's here in about 7 minutes. New Zealand continues its rush toward further gun control legislation in the wake of last Friday's mass shooting. Legislative leaders have now proposed to ban military-style semi-automatic weapons, assault rifles, and high-capacity magazines. The accused gunman held a valid gun license, but the weapons used in the terrorist attack in the city of Christchurch included semi-automatic rifles that had been illegally upgraded with higher capacity magazines to enable 30 bullets or more to be fired without reloading. His license restricted his magazine capacity to 7 bullets.
The effect of this will mean that no one will be able to buy these weapons without a permit to procure from the police. I can assure people there is no point in applying for such a permit.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said her government would also pay cash to gun owners who surrender their weapons in a nationwide amnesty. The proposed changes have the unanimous support of her inner circle of lawmakers. The ban is expected to take effect in 3 weeks. Nebraska officials are hoping for a disaster declaration that will allow the state to tap federal funds to help recover from record flooding that has done roughly $1.4 billion worth of damage. More than 2,000 homes and roughly 340 businesses have been damaged or lost, and flooding has left multiple communities without drinking water or functioning sewer treatment systems. To the northeast of Nebraska, Scott Clemente is with the restoration service company ServPro. He's in the city of Minnetonka.
Over last weekend, we were getting well over 150 calls a day. For a couple of days. Last couple of days, we've had probably an average of 30 to 50 calls.
Meanwhile, the National Weather Service's major to historic and catastrophic flooding will continue as melting snow adds to heavy rainfall. Flood warnings and advisories remain in effect in some areas of the Mississippi River and Missouri River basins, as the Missouri River's next major flood crest was forecast to hit St. Joseph, Missouri at 6 a.m. tomorrow and Kansas City, Missouri on Saturday morning. The FBI has joined the criminal investigation into how Boeing's 737 MAX 8 jets were deemed as safe in the months before two of them crashed in Indonesia and Ethiopia. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
USA Today says the FBI is assisting federal transportation authorities in their investigation into the jets' certification process, which has come under criticism for possible cozy relationships between Boeing and FAA inspectors. The two crashes killed more than 300 people since October, leading to a worldwide grounding of the planes. The report says Transportation Department officials are leading the probe into the FAA approval of the passenger jet, while the FBI is providing needed resources. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting that Ethiopian Airlines was one of the first to install a simulator to teach pilots how to fly the new Boeing 737 MAX 8, but the captain of Flight 302, which went down 11 days ago, never trained on the simulator. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. The city council in Roswell, New Mexico, recently passed a sanctuary resolution that had nothing to do with illegal immigration and everything to do with firearms. In an 8-1 vote, the council declared Roswell a Second Amendment sanctuary city, offering safe havens to firearms owners from a tide of gun control legislation from newly elected Democrats that they consider unconstitutional. Reporter Valerie Richardson at the Washington Times says there's momentum for these sanctuaries throughout the rural West. Valerie, what's happening?
Yeah, what we've got is in a number of states in the West, primarily, cities and counties that are passing resolutions declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuary cities and counties. Is sort of based along the lines of what we've seen with other localities passing these sanctuary city status resolutions for illegal immigrants. And they're declaring that they're now sanctuary cities for gun owners, and mainly because of the push that we're seeing this year by Democratic-controlled legislatures for gun control. There is a huge push right now going on in any number of states, mainly in states where we saw the Democrats take control of all levers of power in November. And I'm talking here about Illinois, Colorado, Nevada, and New Mexico. All four of those states before the November election had either the governor's office or one of the houses of the legislature controlled by Republicans. Those got swept out. And now we've got, now that basically there is nothing to stop these Democratic majorities from pushing through some pretty aggressive gun bills. And they're being obviously, you know, egged on by groups that are funded by Michael Bloomberg, who's always big on these state measures. And so the cities and counties are fighting back.
So in Roswell, New Mexico, which you open your piece with, the sanctuary city for guns means exactly what? Anyone can own one within like the city or county limit?
It means that they will not enforce laws, gun laws passed by the state that they consider to be unconstitutional. They basically are telling their sheriffs, their law, well, they're a city, so they have a police department, but what they're basically doing is telling their law enforcement authorities, you do not have to enforce a gun bill that was passed by the legislature that you consider to be unconstitutional, or any gun law. And in their case, they were looking at this package of bills that New Mexico was pushing that included a red flag law. Those are the ones for the extreme protective orders, where you can basically confiscate guns from somebody who's deemed to be a high risk. That bill did not pass, but the New Mexico legislature just went out of session and the bill was didn't make it. But having said that, there were a lot of concerns about whether this would basically, you know, thwart due process by allowing police to, you know, as the mayor put it, kind of, you know, kick in your door and grab your guns, you know. So they had a lot of problems with that one, and I think that was one reason they passed this. They also have problems, though, with the new background check laws, which basically are aimed at closing what's called the gun show loophole, but also prevent private sales without a background check. And you know, gun owners are saying, look, how do you do a, you know, this makes it virtually impossible to do a private sale. What if I want, it also prevents, you know, transfers. What if a father wants to give his son a gun as a gift? Well, you have to have a background check. They said this is just unenforceable, that they would be spending so many time and resources, so much time and resources trying to carry this out that you know, it would basically, you know, they don't have the technology and they don't have the manpower to carry out, to basically enforce these laws.
We're speaking with Valerie Richardson, national reporter at the Washington Times. Her story is called Democrats' Gun Control Push Fuels Rise of Second Amendment Sanctuary Movement. So what about enforcement then?
In terms of the state laws?
Yeah.
Well, the you know, the governors and attorneys general have come out with any number of statements saying, you know, we trust that the sheriffs will actually, you know, enforce these laws when push comes to shove. But it's the sheriffs themselves in a lot of states that are leading this. And in New Mexico, the New Mexico Sheriffs Association is behind this. They're saying, you know, you've passed laws that we cannot enforce that have real constitutional issues, and we just kind of tell you that we have to draw the line. It also should be noted that all of these laws that they're passing are getting legal challenges. And so one thing the sheriffs are also saying is, look, we want to see what happens with a legal challenge before we do something that we feel violates the Constitution.
Thanks, Valerie. Reporter Valerie Richardson at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, today announced an immediate ban on sales of military-style semi-automatic firearms and high-capacity magazines in the wake of a terrorist attack on two mosques in Christchurch that killed 50 worshippers. Ardern says the ban is effective immediately to prevent stockpiling and will be followed by a complete ban on the weapons. People can also hand over their guns under an amnesty.
In the next 48 hours, a form will be available on the site that we are asking these gun owners to complete, identifying what banned guns they hold. The police will then arrange for these weapons to be handed over and eventually destroyed.
The man charged in the mosque attacks had purchased his weapons legally using a standard firearms license and enhanced their capacity by using 30-round magazines bought online. The FBI is assisting in a criminal investigation into how Boeing 737 MAX was certified to fly. The company has been under scrutiny in the wake of two deadly plane crashes involving its latest aircraft. The development, first reported by the Seattle Times, comes after federal agents told employees at the FAA Seattle office to retain documents related to the approval process for the plane. Meanwhile, the Pentagon's inspector general says it will investigate a watchdog group's allegations that acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan has used his office to promote Boeing, his former employer. Prime Minister Theresa May is trying to persuade European Union leaders to delay Brexit by up to 3 months, with her plans to leave the bloc in chaos just 8 days before Britain's scheduled departure.
We will now not leave on time with a deal on the 29th of March. This delay is a matter of great personal regret for me.
May will meet with EU leaders in Brussels today who are getting weary of Britain's political soap opera. EU Council Chief Donald Tusk says a short delay is possible, but only if Britain's Parliament approves May's divorce deal with the EU before the scheduled March 29th departure date. Looks like you'll have yet another chance to get in on the Powerball fever. After no winning ticket was selected in last night's $550 million drawing, the prize has grown to about $625 million, with the next drawing scheduled for Saturday night.
Four of those dollars in that pot are mine.
You're still holding on to those, huh?
Well, no. I cashed in the tickets from last week's winning for $4 and then reinvested.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I roll with the big boys.
Okay.
23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. After Arizona State and North Dakota State advanced to the field of 64 last night, the NCAA basketball tournament gets underway in earnest today. 16 games on tap, 16 more tomorrow. Duke is the number one overall seed and a favorite of many brackets. Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay has written a funny piece about how he adores this Duke team, even though anybody outside of Durham, North Carolina is not supposed to adore Duke. Jason, why so much love?
Zion Williamson. I mean, end of story. This guy, he's a freshman. He's 6'8", 275 pounds, built like a Sub-Zero fridge, plays with incredible grace. He's as dynamic a, you know, college basketball player as we've seen in a generation. Even the most casual fans can recognize what makes him special. A couple weeks ago, of course, he had that sneaker blowout. Did you see that, Gordon?
His
sneaker split in two.
Yes.
Unbelievable. His sneaker just, you know, split open, and all they had to make him a new reinforced one. But he came back brilliantly at the ACC tournament over the weekend. He's the kind of player that Duke doesn't really specialize in, which is a player that everybody loves. Duke is, you know, they're the nemesis. They're the arch villain. They're the guys who, you know, take your lunch money and steal your bicycle. They're not accustomed to having the most likable player in the sport. So this is a new vibe around this team. And as pilloried as I'm getting for this, Gordon, I know I'm not alone.
All right, so I know you like them. Does that mean you would pick them to go all the way?
I think so, for sure. I mean, they are the number one seed in the entire tournament, not just in the region that they're located. the thing that will be interesting to see is whether or not it manifests in a fourth showdown with their arch rival, Carolina. They have played three times already this season, Carolina winning two, but both of those games were without Zion. Carolina has a rockier road to get to the Final Four. That is going to be a tricky run for them to manage. But were they to get there, I don't think you'd see a lot of complaints, and I know you would see a game that a lot of people would want to watch.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Jason Gay. His piece is called "I Love Duke, Please Forgive Me," talking about the NCAA tournament. The supporting cast around Zion is good enough in your mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the funny thing about the way this team began, you know, R.J. Barrett was regarded as being the number one guy. This is yet another sort of string of superstar one-and-done athletes on the Duke roster, and R.J. Barrett was the guy going into this season that was expected to be the number one NBA pick, and Zion sort of played himself into that spot. Cam Reddish, another superstar freshman for Duke. I mean, this is a team that... you know, they can turn it on at, you know, from multiple different vantage points, but Zion is sort of what does everything for them. I mean, he is just an unmanageable player on the court for the opposition. And again, I've never seen anything quite like him.
Thanks, Jason. It's Wall Street Journal sports columnist Jason Gay. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, March 21st. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New Zealand announces stricter gun control in the wake of last week's terror attack. Catastrophic flooding remains in the forecast for the Plains and Midwest. The FBI joins the criminal probe into the 737 MAX aircraft approval. NCAA tournament tips off in earnest today. A puzzling new study about the risk of drinking hot tea. And the touching Eagle Scout project designed for dogs. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Advisors can help you maximize this year's budget and find the right business PC with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. A new class action lawsuit takes aim at real estate agents and the tools they use to do business. And housing industry watchers say it could revolutionize the way Americans buy and sell the biggest asset they'll ever own. The suit was filed on behalf of anyone who sold a home through one of the 20 of the largest listing services in the country over the past 5 years. MarketWatch housing reporter Andrea Riccier is here with the details. Andrea, explain this.
This very interesting class action lawsuit was filed a couple weeks ago in Chicago. And what it is some of the biggest, most prestigious law firms in antitrust in America that have had some enormous successes in really big cases have said, look, the way that we buy and sell our homes in America is broken. As I'm sure most of your listeners know, the way it normally works is that a homeowner hires a realtor and says, I'd like you to sell my home. The homeowner can negotiate with his or her agent, the seller's agent, sometimes called the listing agent. I can say to somebody, you know what, I'm in a real bad spot. I just lost my job. I got to sell my house. Can we work together? Can you take a little bit less than the normal 6% that is sort of customary and traditional. Mm. I can also use a discount brokerage like Redfin. Where I cannot negotiate is on the other side, the person representing somebody who wants to buy my home. And traditionally, the quote-unquote 6% that we talk about traditionally comes from 3% and 3%. But there's what this lawsuit says is there's no reason that the homeowner, the seller, should be compelled to pay 3% for a buyer to have representation.
Mm. Okay. So what's the feedback been like so far? I know it's only been a couple of weeks.
So apparently a lot of realtors on Facebook and elsewhere are saying, huh, this is completely, unfounded. The National Association of Realtors told me that they look forward to setting more precedent about how, the way they do business is completely efficient and consumer friendly. But I have to tell you, Gordon, I published this story and I have not stopped. I have not stopped getting email Wow. after email after tweet after LinkedIn. It has not stopped with people wanting to talk about how much they agree that the system is broken.
Wow. Well, I think that's reflective, too, of the amount of money involved, right? I mean, for most of us, it's
Absolutely.
Our biggest asset. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
So the real estate brokerages or agents or the National Association of Realtors all say what here?
They say it has no merit. It has false claims. They're not really addressing the issue, in their responses. But I think a lot of people who watch the industry agree that there is value in the role of the realtor, and I want to be real clear about that. I write about disruption in the real estate market, but I also believe that you can have terrific realtors.
Yes.
Who, they hold your hand, they give you lots of information. In a really tough market, they rack their brains and drive around and try to find you, the best home, the best buyer, whatever. The problem is the way that this is structured. There's just no reason why I should sell my house and pay you to be represented in buying it from me. And, a lot of what I write about is the innovations and the disruptions that are, trying to do these, trying to bring different ways of doing these transactions.
Mm. We're speaking with Andrea Riquier at MarketWatch. Her piece is called "The Lawyers Who Took on Big Tobacco Are Aiming at Realtors and Their 6% Commission." One of the other complaints, I believe, would be in a situation of a for sale by owner in which you're selling the home yourself. Yeah. Realtors yeah. don't bring their clients in to see your home.
In fact, there's some evidence that realtors will steer clients away from homes where it is specified that they will not get as much, say a 2.5% commission, for example, instead of the traditional 3. There's definitely evidence that as a group, not every single one of them, but in general, they just don't like to get themselves involved in these situations that are a little bit unconventional. That's why some people use the word cartel to describe the way they do business.
Thanks, Andrea. That's MarketWatch housing reporter Andrea Riquier. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, suffice it to say, if you're the coach of a small school making its first trip to the NCAA tournament, you want to look your best for the national TV audience. Vanity, however, will have to take a back seat, so to speak, for one coach. Abilene Christian will square off tonight against Kentucky in the first round of the tournament, and Coach Joe Golding has one problem. He only owns one suit, and he ripped a hole in the pants while celebrating his team's winning the Southland Conference Tournament, which propelled them to the big dance. He says when he arrived back in Abilene, he went to the one and only suit shop in town, and they said they couldn't fix it in time. Golding says he bought khakis and a shirt so he would have something to wear. However, considering this is the NCAA tournament, he felt his only option was to wear his ripped suit pants, which he told reporters at a press conference yesterday.
I'm coaching them all in my baby blue suit, and I'm going to have a hole in my butt, man. So it is what it is, man.
Golding also said he started the season with two suits, but he left one in an airport en route to a game in February. He also said he doesn't think he's getting his bonus for making the tournament until June 1st. So if anyone wants to start a GoFundMe page for him in the meantime, perhaps to get him a backup suit, he'd appreciate it.
That's great. What a great story.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about this time of the year is hearing from some of these coaches that we don't get to hear. You know, these guys that are just cannot possibly be more excited and just have, you know, more energy than you and I together could muster in a million years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One suit tore the pants while celebrating, and nobody in the town, I guess it's Abilene,
could
fix the guy's pants.
Nope.
Nobody.
Couldn't do it. One suit guy. And this suit guy said no.
Nobody in the school like has, you know, needle and thread or whatever it takes.
Or could even borrow a suit, maybe, if need be.
Rent one, nothing going on.
I mean, I guess it's his lucky suit at this point.
I think I found my new favorite team in the tournament,
by the way. Yes, for sure. And if you're a pet owner, you're no doubt familiar with the Petco policy of allowing leashed pets to accompany their owners into the store. That policy is lacking in specifics, however, which led to a man and woman from Texas to test it out recently. And to the surprise of Shelley Lumpkin and Oliver Browning, their leashed steer was welcomed with open arms. The owners posted video of the very, very large African Watusi bull being walked into the store near Houston on Monday, then calmly interacting with customers and store employees. It wasn't clear how much the animal weighs, though bulls of this type can reach 1,600 pounds. The video of their visit to Petco has racked up nearly 500,000 views this week.
That is a hilarious video.
And that bull's got to be every pound of 1,600. I mean, that is an enormous bull.
I just chuckled at two things. One, because his rack is like 6 feet wide,
right,
he tilts his head.
Yeah.
He knows to tilt his head to get himself
into the
sliding glass door, right?
Right, or else to take it
out.
And
then very calmly, like a cashier at that the checkout counter says, "Welcome to Petco."
Right. What can we do for you
this
today?
This massive beast goes walking through the door. It is a riot. And he's so calm.
Oh, yeah.
People are petting him.
Yeah.
If he twitched his head one way to the side, I mean, he can knock you out if you got hit with one of those horns.
Take out a whole aisle of pet food.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. If a cup of tea is part of your morning routine, keep this in mind. If the drink is too hot, you may be dramatically increasing your risk of cancer. Puzzling, right? Since we generally think of tea as having some health benefits. But new research published yesterday in the International Journal of Cancer tracked the habits of more than 50,000 tea drinkers in Iran. The study found that those who drank more than two large cups of tea a day at a temperature of 140 degrees had a 90% higher risk for esophageal cancer. To be clear, it's the temperature, not the beverage, and the lead researcher says more studies are needed on why hot beverages may be to blame. Americans typically drink beverages like coffee, tea, and hot chocolate at temperatures lower than 149, but in other parts of the world, tea is served much hotter. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the Defense Department Office of Inspector General says it has begun an investigation into whether Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan sought preferential treatment for his longtime former employer, Boeing, while serving in government. A complaint against Shanahan was filed last week by a watchdog that claimed Shanahan made numerous statements promoting Boeing and has disparaged the company's competitors. The complaint didn't allude to the most pressing issue currently facing facing Boeing, the recent crashes of two of its 737 MAX jetliners, the FBI is now assisting in a criminal investigation into how Boeing 737 MAX was certified to fly. New Zealand today imposed a ban on assault weapons, moving swiftly following the Christchurch massacre and triggering renewed calls from leading politicians for gun controls in the U.S. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says assault rifles and semi-automatic weapons are now banned with immediate effect. Police Commissioner Mike Bush says gun owners should check their firearms to see if they fall under the immediate ban.
We as police want to do everything we can to ensure those people get to bring their firearms, to surrender them to us, and make that possible and possible quickly.
High-end capacity magazines and devices similar to bump stocks, which allow users to fire weapons faster, will also be banned. President Trump aimed new blasts of invective at the late John McCain, claiming credit for the senator's Washington funeral and complaining he was never properly thanked. By the time the president began his anti-McCain comments yesterday in Ohio, several Republicans called him out, including Georgia Senator Johnny Isaacson.
It's a damaging situation. If my kids started talking about John McCain was not a hero, or because he was a prisoner of war didn't make any difference, or things like that, they'd have a serious conversation with me, and I would have it with them.
Isaacson added that the president's continued slights against the Navy veteran and his Vietnam War service are deplorable. For the 28th year in a row, Labrador Retrievers are the top dog. Labs top the American Kennel Club's list of most popular breeds due to their intelligence, friendliness, and ability to get along with kids. German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers, and French Bulldogs follow close behind, rounding out the top 10, Beagles, Poodles, Rottweilers, Pointers, and Terriers.
Well, I agree when it comes to our lab on friendliness and ability to get along with the kids.
But
not sure at the intelligence front.
Okay.
She's lovely, but just doesn't always use the tools available to her. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. A teenager in northern Utah with a can-do spirit is building 150 beds for shelter dogs for his Eagle Scout project. The young man named Chance Call said he'll donate them to the Davis County Animal Shelter on April 1st. He told Fox 13 Television that he's always had a soft spot for animals. He recalls that as a kid, he'd watch TV and see those ads asking you to adopt a pet and make their life better. He thought with his Eagle Scout project, he could do that on a bigger scale and help the animals that can't get adopted. The teen, who lives in the town of Roy, about a half hour north of Salt Lake City, has raised more than $3,000 in donations since the start of this year to purchase supplies to make the beds. He and his friends spent about 120 hours constructing them. He says the reward of that hard work is knowing dozens of animals will get relief from the stress of being locked in the shelter with a comfortable night's rest, since he knows he can't take home every dog from the shelter. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.